Give ear unto my word, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemy. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness, and their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defended them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you, dear Lord God, for this blessed day that you have made. A day, Lord God, that we can rejoice and be glad, for every day with Jesus is a day of rejoicing. And Lord God, despite all that we're seeing in this wicked world, we thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, that the joy that we have, the world did not give it to us, and the world cannot take it away. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we can lift up our hands. Lord God, we can give you the fruit of our lips. And thank you, Lord God, for the way that you have made for us. Thank you, Lord God, for every door that you opened for us. Thank you for every miracle that you have performed for us. Thank you, Lord God, for just being with us. Oh, Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you look upon your people everywhere. Encourage the saints of God. Encourage your people, Lord God, to continue to hold on to your unchanging hand. Oh, Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, that you would meet every need on today. I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would hear every cry on today. Lord God, hear and answer prayer. Lord God, all over the world, those who are seeking your face. Lord God, those who are looking, Lord God, with great expectations, Lord God, that you're going to bring them out and bring them through, Lord God. I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, as we come together on today, Lord God, that you would move how you want to move. Lord God, that you would deliver your people. And Lord God, I pray, Father in heaven, that you would encourage the hearts and the minds of every listener. Oh, Lord God, on today, Lord God, to be willing to take that extra step on this journey. Lord God, until, Lord God, hallelujah, until we see you, oh God, in peace. And Lord God, I pray that all things today be done decently and in order. And Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God for another day. Thank God, amen, for another opportunity. Amen. Just to lift up and to magnify his most holy, precious, and righteous name. Hallelujah. And truly, I do greet you in love. and greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just thank God. Amen. For Brother Iman. Praise God. He's the musician. Amen. That supplied this wonderful track. Amen. To use for any purpose. And I thank God for him, because a lot of musicians, you know, they're looking for some type of gratuity. Praise God. Amen. But he allow anyone who desires to use his work, amen, for the purpose of the kingdom of God. And I thank God, amen, for him on today. Amen. I certainly greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray, amen, that each and every one of you can say, it is well in my soul. Amen. These are some crazy, incredible times that we're in, and I've never seen anything like it. And I thought about, you know, everything that's taking place from the north, south, east, and west. Amen. And, you know, all the devastations we got from the north of where I am in Canada, all the smoke that's coming, amen, to from Canada on into New Jersey and other states. Amen. I looked in the Midwest, in Texas, and in all those states where there's just such extreme heat, that's well above 100 degrees. And in the South, it's these endless tornadoes that's ripping through and destroying everything. And I say, well, Lord, it's just nowhere safe. Amen. But I will tell you this, that the safest place in the whole wide world to be right now is in the will of God. Hallelujah. When God have you covered, he's got you covered. Amen. And we thank God, amen, that today that he is a refuge, amen, for all that put their trust in him. Glory to God. So let us continue to pray for all of these people that are just in turmoil. It's just, you know, a lot to process sometimes. Amen. But thank God, amen, that we are still here. Amen. Today's scripture lesson will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Again, that's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I will begin to read the scriptures in your hearing. The word of the Lord reads, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And as she had, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." May God bless us through this, the reading of his holy word. And we're simply going to speak on the subject on today. There is only one thing that is needful. In the scripture lesson, we see, and as we have heard, a contrast between two sisters. While Jesus was being entertained at Martha's house, he reproved her for her care about the world, but he commended Mary for her care about her soul and things that were spiritual. We find that there are two kinds of Christians that we have encountered in the body of Christ: those who are spiritual and in full communion with God, and those who are carnal, which is the renewed man, who is walking after the flesh. One of the things that we learn from the writings of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is that a carnal state prevents spiritual growth. A carnal-minded Christian is able to comprehend only simple truths and must be fed as would an infant who is in need of milk. Carnal-minded Christians are not really interested in going beyond a certain level of understanding when it comes to the Word. They are easily swayed and easily distracted. It is the distractions that prevent them from setting their affections on things above. Their conversation is carnal, their mindset is carnal, and outside of a church setting, their behavior is also carnal. But as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." When you have the mind of Christ, you will gravitate towards the things that will keep you spiritually strong. It is more to this Christian journey than just professing that you are saved, but you must be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. The Lord expects His people to reach full stature and full maturity in their walk with Him, to the point of seeking Him for the higher heights and deeper depths, and not just settle or be satisfied with staying in shallow water. It is time to launch out into the deep. The Lord wants to stretch out in you, but how can He do it if you refuse to get rid of the infantile mentality and be the mature Christian that He is calling you to be? Some people have certain character flaws that they will not change, and for this reason, they stay stuck in the same mold year after year. But when God wants to do a new thing in you, it is up to you to minister to that old man and tell him, "You can't stay here. Amen. You can't live here. You have got to go." 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Ephesians chapter 4 verses 21 through 24 reads, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation," or by translation, conduct, "the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on, the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness." In the words of a man of God whom I truly loved, amen, he used to come minister to our church when he was alive, but he's since gone on to be with the Lord. But some of the things that he would recite, I wrote them down and remembered. And one of the things that he used to say is, the greatest threat to a new thing is an old thing. So if you desire the Lord to do something new in you, then you have to get rid of the old things. Martha represented one who is very much a part of the Christian experience, but excessively concerned about that which pertains to everyday life. She was busy with housekeeping and busy with making preparations, while her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Martha was busy, but she was not in the place to hear God. And sometimes I find that you can be busy, but not the right kind of busy. We should not get so busy throughout our day to the point that the word and communing with God becomes less important. Mary understood that intimacy is an integral part of a relationship. So she made the choice to sit at Jesus' feet to hear his word. Wasn't it Jesus who said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? And also Job, amen, he said that he esteemed God more than his necessary food. Amen. The Lord knows, amen, that we have earthly obligations. And some people worry too much about what they will eat or what they will drink or what clothes are they going to wear. But wasn't it Jesus who let us know that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto you? In other words, there's only one thing that is needful. In such a day and time that we are living in, it is more needful for us to give God our undivided attention. It is more needful to be in his presence. It's more needful to hear God. At this stage in our lives, the Lord should not still be playing tug of war with his people for total submission and total surrender. We should get it by now. This is a busy generation. And in some cases, people are busy doing everything except what the Lord would have them to do. You know, I am saved. I hear people say, but I have a life. Amen. And they choose to get caught up in the cares of this world, which will never propel them into the kind of intimacy that the Lord desires. In this age of social media, some people spend more time on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and other media platforms, but will not give God the time of day. They would rather show him their back and not their face. But when it comes to God, FaceTime is important. Remaining steadfast in the word and in prayer is important because it will keep you rooted and grounded on the right foundation. I've never seen a time that so many people want to be seen and heard. There are people who spend a lot of time airing their dysfunction, on social media or reading the comments on what other people post. But why not go to the Lord and talk to him about your dysfunctional life? Why even seek someone else's opinion when God is the only one qualified to give you sound counsel on what you need to do to fix your life? In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 24, Solomon declared, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." So when I consider social media, I believe that it was intended to be a good way to keep in contact with people or stay connected to people and to keep us informed about things that are happening across the globe. But as we full well know, Satan has a way of using what was intended for good as a way to corrupt. So we have people who seek to use this invention not for the good, but as a means to corrupt. by propagating inappropriate content or talking about controversial subject matters. Now, I will say this, that whether saved or unsaved, if you have what I call the spirit of I gotta know, you will find yourself spending hours upon hours reading and viewing some of the most nonsensical content. And if there's a caption that catches your attention, there you go. And I'll just give you an example. You know, a two-headed man was seen hopping with one leg in the woods. And then you get a pop-up after you read that one. If you view this, I believe you're like that. An animal with a triangle-shaped head was found living in a cave. And before you know it, hours has gone by. And you're viewing all these crazy stories. So the point to be made is this. The enemy can use any means to distract or cause us to divert our attention away from God. And sometimes these new inventions are used as a diversion tool to take away the time that you should spend with God. Understandably, we live in a multifaceted world driven by various uses of technology. But it's up to the saints of God to maintain a healthy balance or healthy relationship and be careful as to how we spend our time. If we become preoccupied with useless activities, it will affect our devotion, fellowship, and communion with the Lord. It will lead to a lack of passion or love for the things of God. Amen? So Martha was the busy one. The scripture says that she was cumbered about much serving. She had visitors, and understandably, she wanted to prepare food, feed them, and make sure that they were comfortable. But perhaps at that particular moment, it was something that could have waited. Martha's intentions may have been good, but perhaps it was much ado about nothing. She was cumbered about or distracted with domestic affairs. But if she would have stopped to consider that the Holy One of God was in her house, perhaps she would have been with her sister sitting at the Master's feet. Jesus had more to give than she did. He said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said in John chapter 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What Jesus had to offer was more sustainable, and there was no food that Martha could have prepared that could have or would have topped that. As she complained to Jesus about her sister Mary, she asked, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve tables? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Martha hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha chose to forego whatever earthly obligation she may have had, and took advantage of basking in the presence of the Lord. Her choice was to take time out of her busy day, glory to God, and to be attentive to the word and to receive the word that Jesus has spoken into her heart. And so Jesus commended Mary for her serious piety, and because she chose the good part, he said it shall not be taken away from her. When she persevered to stay as close to the Lord as she could, amen, he honored that. And likewise, if we do the same thing, guess what? Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Glory to God. So, in conclusion, sometimes we find ourselves preoccupied or selfishly absorbed with many things. But there's only one thing that is needful. What we need is more of Jesus. We need more of his presence. We need more of his power. We need more of his anointing. We need to pray more and commune with him more. In these perilous and uncertain times, we should not be distracted to the point that we become tone deaf to God's voice, or spiritually blind to everything that is going on around us. The enemy's objective is to get us to a place where we are unable to see, hear, listen, or discern the voice of God. And it's not a hard place to get to, especially if you are consumed with the cares of this life. Now, the Lord knows that we must work to sustain ourselves and our family. He knows that if you have children, you must take care of your children. And we have daily domestic responsibilities that are necessary to maintain where we live. But we must not forget to take time out of our busy day and connect with the one that we need the most. There is only one thing that is needful. And sometimes, amen, there are things that we think we need, and there are things that we desire. We have ambitions, and, you know, we think about career paths and things of that sort. But overconsumption with these things can cause you to forget God. And we should never want to forget the one who loved us so much that he made a way to redeem our souls from death and allow us right now to be set down in heavenly places, because he sent a sacrifice, glory to God, to lay down his life for us so that we can have hope beyond this world. And so as we live here, you may strive to do many things or strive to achieve many things. But in the end, everything's going down except the word of God. And as we heard it said, only what you do for Christ will last. And so the gift that the Lord has given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that blood sacrifice that he gave, is sustainable and will last throughout all eternity. So let us strive one day to be in the presence of the Lord. Let us strive one day to take our place, amen, in the kingdom of God. Let us strive one day to see our Lord and Savior in peace. Because when all is said and done, there is only one thing that is needful. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you this day. Amen, amen, and amen.